it seems, to have a dream, to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to a special Second Rise episode of the Rise Up podcast. This is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff for the people in their communities. I hope you're doing well this week. Cindy and I are off traveling. We are heading to the UK, to Scotland and England to see our kids and visit some friends and maybe see some bakeries. But I don't want to leave you alone at the bench while we're away. So the Second Rise episodes are past episodes from our ample archives of over 170 episodes at riseuppod.com. I'm going to be sharing some of my favorites with you over the summer, and we'll be back with new episodes starting on August 24th. We're getting into some Orange Boot Bakery nostalgia this week, or at least I am, because for this Second Rise show, I want to share the talk that I had with Tisha Huff back in March of 2019. Tisha was a big part of the golden years at Orange Boot Bakery. She was our first ever student intern. She was our head baker for 3 years. And after she left us for a bit of a rest and then greener pastures, she kept on working on her baking game. She started a sourdough donut pop-up shop and still to this day made the best donuts I've ever tasted. And she was the head baker at Night Oven Bakery in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, at the time that we were talking in this episode, and she knocked it out of the park there as well. These days, she's back in her hometown of Calgary, hatching a new scheme. In the next couple of months, she's going to be heading up the pastry area at a hip and trendy new restaurant that's opening this summer. And it sounds like she's going to be doing bread and ice cream there too, which is pretty cool. But for this chat, let's go back in time to a time when a fresh-faced 22-year-old new grad decides to up and move 750 kilometers to the Saskatchewan prairies to work at this newfangled Orange Boot Bakery. What were you thinking, Tisha? Let's find out. Yeah, sounds awesome. How are you today?
Pretty good. Just got home. Yeah, just hanging out now. How about you?
I'm freezing.
You're freezing?
Yeah. I'm absolutely freezing. The wind's just howling, and I hate it.
It's pretty junky out.
I'm totally losing my mind with this weather, but that's oh well.
You and everybody else, it seems like, God. Too.
Yeah. I'm running a series of protests. I said that I'm not going to shave until the weather warms up, and I'm losing my mind about it, to be honest with you, because I'm now at the itchy stage. I didn't think it would last this long. I thought once I put my foot down and, you know, the gods knew I meant business, but.
Oh, I guess not. Hey, you're going to have to suffer with that itchy beard, eh?
So let's get started.
Cool.
I'd love to know, what do you think of Saskatoon now that you've been up there for a while?
Yeah, it's been over a year now.
Yeah.
Or I don't even remember. I don't even know what day it is half the time. No, it's been pretty good. I've enjoyed it. I'm starting to get out and see a little bit more of what it has to offer.
Right.
You know, events that are going on. I mean, the summer is crazy. Like, there's just stuff happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can hardly keep track of it. It's like the city finally comes alive. You know, we've been dormant for like half the year, and then it just explodes and there's so many festivals and junk happening. So it's been good. Lots of interesting restaurants, you know, to hang out at. Everybody knows that in Saskatchewan. That,
yeah.
Saskatoon's the place to go if you want to eat out or whatever. It's interesting. Put this into decent words, but I do find it's a little clicky.
Okay.
Depending on where you live in the city.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. There's people, you know, that won't won't come on to our side of the turf because it's dangerous.
Oh, something. Wow.
And it's like, dude, no. Like,
oh, and whereabouts do you live?
So I live in what they call the Alphabets.
Oh, okay.
I live on, yeah, in on the Avenue B there. So I live right by Syast.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. So it's like just off downtown, you know, yeah. The main drag. So well, I see a lot so of stuff. No, it's not that bad. Yeah. You know, it's not Suburbiaville.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Yeah.
Close to where Orange Boot was.
Well, and that whole area is kind of changing and remaking itself. And
yeah.
It's the real blend, especially along with 20th Avenue there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it can be some, you know, vegan breakfast restaurant. And then right beside it's the Shelter, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really strange and interesting place.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a little weird for sure, you know, seeing that transition, even the past year and a bit, you know. I worked at Little Bird, you know, which is right in the heart of it. And yeah, next door is a halfway house.
Yeah.
You know, and here we are selling super fancy pastries and next to a very high end furniture shop. And then there's a halfway house right next door. So it's interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah. You read about that sort of gentrification of neighborhoods all the mm-hmm. time, but I think that's probably the biggest example in Saskatchewan of that actually happening, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And even where I grew up, I never experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Eye-opening for sure.
Well, so let's talk about that. Like, so where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Calgary,
right?
Kind of in the southern part of Calgary. So away from everything that was fun. We'll just say that.
Yep.
So growing up, you know, I didn't know what the heck food was, you know. Grew up with mashed potatoes and meat, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it was really great. Ever since going to school, I would say is when that's what opened up my eyes to food, you know, really fell in love with that. But I miss Calgary still to this day. I still love that city to bits. It's just, you know, people are really relaxed and hanging out, doing their thing, very high paced compared to Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
It was good times. I still have really fond memories of growing up there.
Well, and being an hour from the Rockies is always nice too.
Yeah, the scenery is fantastic. Yeah, and having the whole provincial parks that was literally in my backyard was really nice.
So did you grow up near Fish Creek Park?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay, so that is a good way south then, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I grew up in Deer Run area. So
okay.
Yeah, right down the hill is Fish Creek.
Yeah, see, because my in the late 80s, I was out there for 4 months, and I lived closer to sort of Elbow Drive and Heritage.
Oh, yeah.
So still south, but in modern Calgary, that's almost central, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But my brother-in-law, like Cindy's brother, lives right near Fish Creek Park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I've only been out there once, but we went out for Christmas right after we closed the bakery, and then got to walk around the park and stuff a little bit. But it's neat out there. You know, it really is. Yeah. I see what you mean about it being sort of, you know, quiet and removed out that way. Cause it's a long way from downtown Calgary. Like that is.
Yeah.
That's a really long way.
Yeah, even just downtown, like commuting to State every morning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm traveling halfway across the city, you know, to go to school.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's pretty neat, though. I mean, just hopping on a C train and cruising through the whole city is something that I also miss nowadays. Yeah. You know, coming up from this, like, southern, like, whatever, and then heading on a train, and all you see are all these huge buildings all of a sudden in downtown. Yeah. And it's pretty neat.
Right on. Right on. So when you were in, like, you know, regular school, like elementary and high school, was there like was cooking and baking part of the gig then, or did that come after?
I do remember home ec.
Yeah.
Home ec classes. I'm sure everybody remembers like sewing pajama pants or their sweater or something like that. And I wasn't very good at that, I can tell you that much. But Yeah, I remember cooking, but it was, I always cooked at home, so it wasn't anything new to me. You know, I always helped out in the kitchen here and there, or, you know, bread's always kind of been a part of what I did.
Yeah.
Having an aunt in the family that always made bread. And then, you know, when word would get out to the rest of the family, people would start showing up, just coming over for coffee, quotation marks.
Yeah.
Just hoping to land us some bread that is making that day, you know. So I think I learned more at home than I ever did in home ec class. That's sure. For sure. Sure. Yeah. But high school was nothing.
Yeah.
Was nothing in that either. Yeah.
So then why did you decide to go to SATE? Like to go to the tech school and take the pastry arts program?
Oh, good question. So I was working at co-op in the bakery department.
Okay.
For quite some time. I think I was there for like 5 years. So throughout high school and right into college, that's when my span of working there was.
And how'd you end up there?
From one of my cousins who is the manager there. She kind of recommended me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I just, you know, got a job and rest is history pretty much. But
in the bake shop?
In the bakery. Yeah. In the bakery department. Yeah. So I went straight into there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Which was great. I remember it because I remember, you know, making pans of cookies or pans of strudels and just mind blowing, like how good they smelt and how good they tasted.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanting to recreate this at home. And so, you know, I'd take the frozen box that it comes in out of the freezer and look at the ingredients and being like, what the heck is all this stuff in it? Like, I can't even pronounce half of it. And so there I was like, what, like white bread shouldn't have 25 ingredients in it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was where I was like, okay, clearly there's something bigger to this, you know, and, started watching the Food Network more and Alton Brown, you know, like both of us are big fans of that guy. And yeah, just trying to experiment a little bit more at home, like being like, okay, I don't have all these like buckets of preservatives. So how do you make this stuff?
Right.
And then, I'm sure my family misses all the experiments in the kitchen going all the time. But, after that, I looked into more, professional training, I guess, and saw that SATE offered baking pastry arts, and that's what I decided to go to. So yeah, I wanted to learn how to make things from scratch, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. So what's your take on the program there?
Well, I think when I was going there, I think they were going through a transitionary period at the moment. So as the year that I graduated, I think it was the year I graduated, that's when Volker Baumann retired.
Oh, okay.
I think so, if my memory serves correctly. Right. So they were kind of looking for another head to lead the program, and they were also working on the downtown campus at the time.
Okay.
And lots of buildings going up at SATE. So it was a weird transition period. I learned so much still, you know, from what is a ciabatta? I don't know, you know, and then learning how to do that, or making stollen for the first time by a German. And I guess it was just, you know, the basic exposure to the baking industry that I really, really dug. And bread is what I really latched onto, because I was like, what? Like, I had no idea there's this many different types of bread, or you can make little fancy rolls by braiding it and dipping it in poppy seeds, you know. So I had a lot of fun, and I think I really excelled through it because I had a little bit of the baking side of me just from co-op. Like I would decorate cakes and just cruise through that part of school, you know.
Yeah.
So I found it could have probably been a little bit more challenging initially, but man, we did everything. You know, I made my first wedding cake, and I made a sculpture out of chocolate, and, you know, a sculpture out of, or many sculptures out of sugar after wrecking a few, you know. And yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was
really so it's cool. It's all that really fancy chocolate and sugar work as well. Hey.
Yeah. Fancy traditional stuff.
You yeah. Know, yeah.
That nobody seems to really do nowadays, but it teaches you good skills. And I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, and do you remember, was Chef Leopold there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chef Leo was the one who taught bread.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like my only time out to Sate for baking was when Volker Baumann taught a German baking class with the guild. And so Volker was there and Leopold was his assistant for the weekend.
Nice, right on.
That guy. Holy Dinah.
I know.
What the first thing they had us do, like we mixed the doughs, and I think it was just to give everything time to rise, they had us making crescent rolls. And Leopold could do it with one hand, make a crescent with a square piece or a rectangular piece of dough. He could make a rectangle into a crescent. And I still don't know how he does it. And I swear to God, I worked those for like well over an hour to finally figure out what he was doing. And all I could get him to look like were these tubes. And then I finally got it, you know. And I haven't made him since, and it's been over 10 years, but it's like, I just remember, it's like, you're not gonna, I'm not leaving until I figure out how to do this with just one hand back and forth. And he made a perfect crescent every time.
Oh, totally. What a guy. I know they could look at a hunk of dough and it shapes itself, you know, like they're just so talented. I remember asking him, Chef Leo, to, show how to make an actual Kaiser roll, you know, cause usually places just have a stamp.
Right.
Know? And I was like, okay, can you do this like by hand? And he's like, yeah, whoop, 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 done. And I was like, oh, okay, amazing. I'll practice this, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. And they go so fast that it's like a magician's trick for a while.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Working on the moves. No, that's so cool. Well, and that's, and so when you were at Sate, that's when we met for the first time, right?
Yeah, that was, it was, wasn't it?
I still remember, like, because we had just opened the bakery, and well, we had opened it enough that we were already beat, you know, and I think we had hired Heather, and I think we might have just hired Patty, and then I saw a tweet from you, or I made some crazy tweet about, you know, how it's tough to find bakers in Regina.
Yeah.
And you replied back about, well, I'd come for an internship or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember like doing a jig at the shop. I said to Cindy, I said, like, not only did someone reply to my tweet, which I think might have been the first tweet that was ever replied to that I had ever done about anything, but then it was like talking about coming out for an internship. So. Yeah, because that was about halfway through your course then, right?
It was, yeah. It was after the first year. So I remember stalking you a bit on like Twitter and like finding your website and reading all the blog posts and like, oh, I'm the only one commenting on this stuff. I'm such a crazy person, you know? Yeah, that was, I remember doing that because I remember sitting being like, oh man, where am I going to do my internship? Like,
yeah,
there's so many students. Right? Yeah, we had to go and find a place and arrange and all that stuff ourselves. And having like 60 kids saturate the Calgary market, it's like, oh man, am I going to have to work at Tim Hortons for my internship? Like, what am I going to do? And yeah, I remember like seeing your tweets and the website and everything and the video of the oven coming into shop and. I swear I watched that so many times just at the edge of my seat. You're like, oh man, is it going to fit? Oh, you know? And I was like, oh, I worked with that oven. Like that would be so cool to like, you know, use a MeWe oven, but bigger, you know?
Yeah. But that's the whole reason we bought it though, was because I saw the MeWe at Sate for that German baking class.
Yeah.
And I talked to Volker and Leo and they said, no, it's a good oven. You know, you won't go wrong with that. And I was like, okay. And so that was why I went that way.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still miss the little dings that it makes when it's done. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, because you came out was for the summer, right?
Yeah. It was for the summer for two months, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was two months.
I remember you coming in with two of your, it wasn't your folks, because I don't think I've ever met your folks, but it was...
my grandparents.
Your grandparents.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That they helped you move out to Regina.
Yeah, for those 2 months.
For those 2 months. And then, and I remember that you, the other memory I have, it all kind of blurs, but the memory that I have is that you, you raised the fashion of the place because you had to wear your Sate outfit. Oh. And so it's like, so yeah. We're all, you know, working in t-shirts for a while and then, and you're all dudeed up in your whites and stuff. And I kind of remember, and I could be making this up, but I kind of remember more than once somebody coming and talking to you like it was your place because you were the best dressed of the people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which was cool.
Chef jacket and
yeah.
And the whole shebang. Hey. Yeah, it's not like that anymore. I can tell you that much.
No, but that's great. Yeah, because it was at the time, and really honestly. Right till the end of Orange Boot, I think you were the first person that had any real bread experience in school and was actually saying, that's the thing that I want to do.
Oh,
100%. I think everyone else that came to the bakery, if they had baking experience, it was on the sweet side of things.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay, I'll deal with bread, you know, or someone like Sandy that it's like, well, I'll learn anything.
And still excel immensely at it.
I'm just super smart. Right. But that was a cool time. Yeah. And then, so I remember then after, when you graduated from Sate, you said earlier that, yeah, you were kind of stalking me and stalking the bakery about the internship. And then the roles totally reversed because I kind of had it in my head, like, okay, what's the date that Tisha graduates?
And how can I
come out here full time?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I remember you, when I was my last day and I was heading back to Calgary, I remember you saying like, your job will be here if you want it. And I was like, wow, like I hadn't even graduated yet. And here I'm like, you know, a bread baking job at a legit bakery. Like I was so stoked on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember, and the embarrassing thing I remember is phoning you like, you know, would have been April or whenever you were graduating.
Yeah, yeah.
I swear to God, you were out for drinks with your classmates because it was like the last thing. And I'm like, so you're coming, right? You're coming by. And I'm people in the background and it's like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah, okay, Mark. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, because Cindy was like, you're not screwing this up, Mark. You got to get out of here. So, yeah.
And I did that October. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was awesome. That was sort of that was the golden age, I thought. When we had like you and Sandy and Shreya.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
You know, it was that we were really going.
We were grooving. Yeah. We had, well, I even remember just on my, you know, the internship. And I think it was Patty I was working with on my internship. And even then, I swear, we like doubled the product line.
Yeah.
Like in those 2 months, you know, we started doing the carrot rolls and like whatever else. And yeah. And then when I came on full time and we had, you know, our really awesome team, it was like, we were just cruising through everything.
Yeah.
You know, pretzels were great.
Yeah.
I still haven't had a pretzel to this day like it. And, you know, we were at the farmer's market. Like it was awesome.
Yeah. We did the market too and stuff. Yeah. Cause that was something because like, I remember quite well, just the every stage as we figured out scheduling a bit more, how we could slot something else in, you know, and whether it's scheduling the oven or scheduling our work or you know, pacing things out so that we could, you know, how do you add those rolls? How do you add, you know, pastries and stuff in the morning and that later? But yeah, because someone was asking about, you know, through the podcast emails and stuff about, you know, how do you communicate schedules and stuff with your bake team or how do you even figure it out yourself? And it's like, I still don't know the answer other than we did it. And it's like every time we thought we were full, we found another slot to do something. But it was a good time.
That was interesting figuring out the schedules. Yeah. I remember doing that sometimes and almost having to work backwards. Like when was the oven available?
Yep.
And then work backwards from there, you know, when to mix whatever. But that was interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, crazy times.
crazy times. How much holla we did. I still blows my mind how we did any of that around Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like some of those days where we had to, we couldn't do the dishes until we sold a bunch of stuff because all of our dish racks were full of bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. That's for sure.
We did it, you know, we really did and then would fall into a heap, I guess, which is kind of like, maybe that's a good question before we move on in a timeline. I am kind of curious from your point of view, I know, being young and you got a lot of interests and you're talented a lot of things, you know, what do you give up by adopting the baker's life?
Social life.
Yeah.
That's a social life. Even to this day, I still have a hard time doing that for sure. And I found it was probably really hard back then as well. Sure. Because I was young, like I was 20, you know, 20, 21. And while everybody else is maybe, although it's friends that I've met, you know, they're now working professionals or they're just about there, you know, they work 9 to 5s.
Yep.
And that's clearly not a baker schedule whatsoever. So, you know, trying to make friends in a place that I know nobody, for one, was difficult. But when you finally got those said friends and they want to hang out all the time, it's like, you know, Tisha, come out for a Friday night. We're going out partying. And I'm like, I work at 2:30 in the morning on Saturday.
Yep.
So like literally when you're leaving the bar, I'm at work, you know, starting my day. And so there was a lot of like, nope, sorry, I can't come out. Nope, sorry, I can't. I got to sleep. Or there were times like I did it. Like I would go out just to like, oh my gosh, I need to like socialize, you know, and hang out and survive off of like an hour of sleep, and still did it that day. Like still did the whole Saturday bake and everything, you know, but then I would sleep for who knows how long after that. So for sure, 100%, I would have to say the social life. You're giving up what everybody else is doing, and you're in your own little kind of realm with your baker buddies, right? Which isn't such a bad thing. You know, you can relate to these other people rather than the 9 to 5ers or anything. But you
hit the nail on the head when you're coming to a new city that constricts down the number of people you can meet.
Yeah.
You know, and then. And then, you know, Regina didn't have a lot of bakeries, right?
Bakers, so exactly.
You're not going to have a lot of baker buddies meeting face to face when we're the only bread shop of its kind in town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And even the few that maybe would pop up, you know, you'd try to go and say hi and be like, oh, like, I'm a baker too. And they would just be like, oh, cool. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There was all right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different kind of thing, you know, like, I don't know if it's unique to Regina. It's, certainly on the show, we talk an awful lot about the generosity and the camaraderie between bakers. But,
yes,
I know when I had Orange Boot, I socialized with a ton of bakers, but none in town, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just that kind of thing, but it's something I didn't appreciate at the time enough, you know, like sort of intellectually. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I know it's hard on you and you know, and Sandy and Kim. Like we had all these young 20, you know, early 20s people working who were awesome, but it's like that that drag on the social side of things. You know, I was just so tired. I would just go home and sleep, and I didn't want to see anybody anyways, you know?
Well, that's part of it too. Nowadays, I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hermit anyway.
Yeah, but it's like, that's a tough thing to either get used to or to have to deal with when you're that young, you know?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's the other part too that I think I had a hard time with too is, seeing, you know, even just my friends from back home who are going through university or whatever, and there they are traveling.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously bakery environment, like that is one of the toughest things to do. You know, you have very select times of the year that you could go, and who wants to go traveling in January or
right.
like, or right after Christmas, you know, your funds are kind of spent
yep.
anyway, you know, those little things too. And I did find that, that was a big sacrifice, you yeah. know, not going for those, I guess experiences
yeah.
that a lot of other people could too, but I don't know. I feel like bakers are just, you know, they're doing it for some wacky reason and you are dedicated to it.
yeah. It's, but you're right. You know, it's sort of like the, it's a lifestyle that not everybody likes. Mm-hmm. But it's got a different set of rewards, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because I had a tough time, you know, coming from, you know, working at SaskTel and the corporate life and stuff to this, the hours I could deal with, but it's exactly right. This thing of like Christmas Eve is mm-hmm. finally I get to sleep, you know, and yep. everybody's like, no, it's Christmas. You got to do all the things.
Yeah.
And we're like, no,
we just did all the things.
Yeah, it's like, no, Christmas, Easter Sunday, Christmas Day. Those are happy sleepy times.
Yeah. It's like, it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking yeah. to Cindy about that just this weekend about how on Saturday afternoons, you know, Cindy and I would get home, you know, about 1 o'clock at mm-hmm. in the afternoon on Saturday. And then Ben and Robin would get home at 5, you know, after the mm-hmm. after they closed the bakery yeah. and cashed out and closed up. And we were all beat, you know, the kids from school plus work and Cindy and I from work. And we would fight over who was going to go get a supper that night. Like that was that level. And these would be big fights because it'd be like,
no way.
Who's least tired to go out to like hit a drive through or go get pitas or something like that. Right. Yeah. Cause that was, you know, before Skip the Dishes. Cause if Skip the Dishes existed, then, you know, there'd be no fighting, but we'd be like 50 pounds heavier. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, yeah, it was that kind of level of tiredness that, mm-hmm. you know, they wouldn't let me drive at that point because I would leave the bakery on Saturday, either so happy that it was a good week, I'd be in tears, or so sad that it was slow on Saturday, I'd be in tears. But I was crying home pretty much every Saturday.
The whole way down.
Just that sleep exhaustion kind of
yeah.
emotion, right? But yeah, it's a lifestyle that you kind of get into, I guess. But I guess that's the thing, and well, and you hit a patch there, like when you finally left the bakery where, mm-hmm. where it was like, I don't know about this. I think what or you tell the story about finally saying you've had enough of me. Sorry. Framing that wrong.
I think, at that, I can't even really remember what year even that was.
No.
It's not even like it was that long ago, but
no,
it feels like a lifetime ago, you know?
I'm gonna say it was the end. Well, I know it was the end of 2014. So it was 4 years ago, but yeah.
Oh yeah, only 4 years. Wow. I think it kind of got to the point where it was like, oh man, am I going to keep doing this like every day? You know, like I was there for however many, 2 years, I think, at that point.
Nah, I'm going to even say three.
About three.
Well, if you include the internship. Yeah.
We
were part of each other's lives for over 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years for sure. So, you know, 3 years of doing this grueling bakery work, you know. I think I just got to the point where I was like, man, what else do I have?
Yeah.
You know, I have my experience and my career, you know, but I don't have really any friends. I have no family here, you know, those kinds of things. And I was like, man, is this it for me? You know, and I think, you know, the jobs that I've had going even throughout high school and college they're always in the food industry.
Right.
So I always knew that Christmas was going to be busy. Easter was, you know, I'm not going to see my family until after these holidays or things like that. Or if something happened at home in Calgary, I can't drop what I'm doing and go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like those things were so much more tough.
Yep, totally.
Than someone who's working in an office. And at that time, you know, there was quite a few things happening within my family back home that I would hear snippets of or things like that. And it's like, man, like I should be able to go and do these things and not work at 4 a.m. and try to have some, like a little bit of normalcy, quotation marks, normalcy. Yeah, I think that was the point where I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore, you know, or I want to try something else.
Yeah.
That would kind of free up that time to go and maybe do some traveling, you know, save up some more money, you know, do all those things, right?
Yeah,
that was pretty much like I was done at that point. And like, obviously it reflected in, you know, my attitude at work and work ethic and all those things, right?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Well, I can't speak to that. I know at the end it was just like, when you said, okay, I'm going to leave and stuff. And I was like, okay. And I just remembered thinking, it's like, oh, I couldn't figure out, or I was sad that you were leaving the field. Right.
It was
like, because I was very much like you. It's like, well, there's got to be a formula that works so someone with your talent can stay in this for the long term, you know,
and
make a career out of it. And so I felt as bad as it was to lose you from the bakery, which was bad. don't like I was sad about that. I was more sad that it was like, oh my God, you know, we've turned her off. You know, I'm into blaming myself a lot, but forget the blame thing. It was just like, you know, oh, she's not going to do this anymore. And that doesn't speak well for the industry at all. If folks like you aren't staying in it, but then it didn't last very long. So how long were you working in an office?
Oh, 7 months.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sucks. This sucks so bad. Oh man, Mark, I don't even know. Like I sitting on my butt all day in front of a computer, that was the worst. I like 7 months, I swear I gained like 40 pounds,
oh,
like doing nothing. Yeah. I was tired. Not okay. I don't know if any other bakers actually can relate to this, but when you're a baker and you're working like a stupid early or overnight shift and you're done your shift, you feel like you accomplished something that day. Yep. Like you're like, I'm good. I'm tired, but I feel good about it. You know, I did some good shit today. And then at the office, I'm like, man, I'm beat. I hate this. I hate not, I don't know. I want to put on my grubby clothes and roll into work and like play with dough and not click away at a computer and listen to angry customers all day. Yep. Like, oh man, I would just go home and sleep because I was so tired and not really knowing why. And, you know, the Monday blues came around and I'm like, man, I used to love Mondays.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. I mean, like the people I worked with were so good and I learned so much and that was great. It's just the environment was definitely not for me.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And then so you ended up going, was that when you went to Schoolhouse?
It was right after that. Yeah. I had originally planned to just, you know, Schoolhouse would host classes and it was more of like a second job to a lot of the folks there.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I can, maybe I'll get back into it by instructing a couple classes a month, you know, and still holding down my well-paid, soul sucking job at the office. You know, and Amy had offered me a full-time position when I went in for my interview, so I was like, yeah, peace out office life, like I'm going back to, I don't know, the food industry. How many people say that? I don't know. Crazy people do, but
Well, and so talk a bit about Schoolhouse, like what's so it's a cooking school. Mm-hmm. But it's not really a school. Well, you tell it because you can tell it better than I can.
Well, you're right. It's not an accredited school. So it's not like you enroll and pay money and, get credits and whatever and earn a degree or whatever have you after it. But it's more of a good time out. So people can, you know, after their jobs or in the evening, come in, take a Thai cooking class and learn how to make some really awesome Thai food that's not just like pad Thai, you know, right, or whatever you're normally used to. So that's pretty much how it went. You know, the evening classes is where a lot of the cooking would happen. You know, you have a glass of wine, you have a good time with your buds, or you come in on the weekend and learn baking kind of stuff, which is more of what I did at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were teaching classes to home cooks and home bakers, and you were also kind of coordinating all the classes there as well.
Yeah. I was the coordinator for the school, so oversaw everything, I guess you could say, happening. Developing your classes, you know, the hiring and firing aspects of it, like as you would running a business, I guess.
Yeah.
You could compare it to.
Yeah. So you're like the overall manager of the school arm of any kind of restaurant and cooking empire.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I did the school project.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, and then, were you teaching cooking classes as well or?
Yeah. Which was, interesting because I never considered myself a cook. Right. And, you know, if someone asked me to chop an onion, I'd be like, okay, where's my slap chop? You know, so I learned a lot of stuff before I taught these classes and still had a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Did a lot of research on my end. But yeah, I did a few of the cooking classes. I did get a little bit more of the easier ones.
Sure.
So there's no like taking apart a chicken or something like that in those classes. But
right.
The cooking was good. That was pretty fun. The baking was the way to go though. You know, teaching someone how to make a cinnamon bun properly was like, yes.
What a ride.
Eat that cinnamon bun. Yeah. And it's gonna blow your mind.
Well, yeah. What that's a hoot. Yeah. Well so you've got the baking chops. You've done a little bit of office work and said, okay, that's not for me, but you've done some sort of management and teaching. And then you got into like marketing big time with a tiny little donut business.
Oh man.
Like, so
yeah.
So what's the Northern Bell story?
Now that we're talking about this, I'm like, man, I really did a lot of things. Okay. Well, so the Northern Bell donut to business, I'm a little bitter about it, if you haven't really noticed. So not that I didn't do like some good stuff. I think it was just everything that followed the donut, like the donut craze that kind of came up. I'm a little...
Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So you start making donuts.
Yes. Right. So my friends at 33 and a third, so Eric and Ethan, kind of approached me one day and said, hey, Tija, like we're looking to, you know, sell some donuts on a Saturday, like a couple dozen, just, you know, for a nice Saturday treat.
Yeah.
Do you think you could do that? And I was like, yeah, of course I can. Like, give me a couple days. I'll come up with something. You know, we'll test some things out and work together about it. And that this was at the time I was still at Schoolhouse, but just on the cusp of leaving it. So I was like, yeah, I haven't made donuts since like school, but I could figure it out, you know, do the best I can and see if people will like it. And within, I think the first couple Saturdays, you know, I dropped off like maybe two dozen here, two dozen there. And by probably the third or fourth Saturday of doing it there, speechless still. I, you know, I would roll up in my little like Ford Focus with pans of donuts in it, and there's lineups of people outside of the shop before they even open the doors, like
holy dinah,
waiting for my donuts. And I'm like, what is going, like, you guys are crazy, you know. And people would like cheer me on as I'm bringing in these pans of donuts, you know. And I'm like, whoa, okay, like rock on. This is cool, you know? And
you were just frying them up at home, right?
I worked completely out of home. And thankfully, Saskatchewan passed some sweet cottage food laws, finally, you know, that kind of allowed this to happen. I just did it at home, you know, woke up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and took my dough to the fridge, rolled it, cut it, proofed it, fried it, glazed it, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And it left a little bit of bitterness at schoolhouse. And when Amy and I couldn't really see eye to eye on it, I just said, Kate, like, I'm out, you know, I'm leaving. I'm going to see what else I can do. And at that time, I was like, you know what, I'm going to move to Saskatoon anyway.
Yep.
You know, so I have 6 months before I'm leaving. What the heck am I going to do? So Northern Bell completely came out of necessity,
right?
To pay rent.
Yep.
So I was like, you know what, whatever. Like, I can make donuts, see where else I can take this. I still want to do bread out of my tiny apartment-sized oven.
Right.
Which is another challenge in itself. And yeah, I just started doing the donuts and then being like, okay, well, what else can I do? You know, I can't get into the farmer's market because supposedly there's enough bread there.
Okay.
Fine. Whatever. So, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to do it out of my house. Like, people, I'll have a subscription list, let people know what I'm making. They can literally come into my house and buy donuts and bread. And so that's what I did, you know. Yeah. And it kind of took a look after what you did with your subscription business before Orange Boot wasn't even a thing, you know. So that's kind of the little bit of inspiration that I got from there, and just moved on from that, and eventually went to the Regina Beach Farmers Market.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Yeah, I did that for, I guess, that summer.
Okay.
You know, nice little resort town.
Yeah.
Trucking along there, spending the whole summer day outside. Like, that was really nice, you know.
Sure.
That was pretty much Northern Bell, and kind of dove face first into the social media marketing aspect of it all.
Right.
Which was a learning curve.
Yeah,
for sure.
How so? Because I know Ben for sure was following you.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me all about all of this, but I wasn't really following it so much. But you had a really strong Facebook following, didn't you?
Yeah, it was, I think Instagram is what really took off. Yeah. And yeah. I just did Facebook because that's what you're supposed to do, I guess. Gotcha. I think it was a lot more with Instagram.
Yeah.
And I mean, even looking back at the Northern Bell page, which I don't have the heart of deleting nowadays, I still go back and be like, oh yeah, right, I did that. I look at it now and it's nothing like what the modern like pop-up folks are doing now.
Okay.
If that makes sense, you know, with the really professional photos
and
the typography on some of their posts and the giveaways and all that other hoopla. I was like, no, you know, screw that. Like, I don't need to do this. Yeah. Like, I'm going to let my stuff speak for itself. I don't need a fancy photo.
Uh-huh.
I'll take a photo myself, slap a filter on it and call it a day, you know?
You know why that is, right?
What?
Because you're a baker.
Oh, right.
And your donuts bloody taste good. Like,
and they taste good.
Exactly. They taste amazing. I couldn't, like, the first time I had one of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't, I couldn't believe it. Like, the sourdough donuts you were doing was just so wicked good. And, I couldn't get enough of them. It was crazy, you know, you know, Ben would come home with a box of them and he'd ration, you know, what I, but they were so good. But it was like at Orange Boot, like when we would really work on our sweet dough, you know,
to make
sure that the dough tasted really good.
Yes.
So then you could top it and glaze it or whatever, but it was like the just plain would be amazing, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's you totally did that. Like so good. Like I only ever wanted just as plain as I can get because the dough was awesome. Although your flavors are great, but
the flavors, it's like, oh, right, a donut's supposed to have glaze on it. Okay. Honey glaze. Yeah. <You know? laughs> I don't know. Yeah. Some of the pop-ups that I would do, like I would have people asking, hey, can you bring me 6 plain donuts?
Yeah.
Like, I just want the plain. And I'm like, yeah, bro, totally. Like, that's how it should be, really. And
awesome.
Even with the glazes, I'm like, okay, if I'm making a lemon poppy seed, it better taste like lemon, you know, right, not this like thick, sweet grossness on it, you know, don't ruin it. But yeah, that whole Northern Belle time, you know, my mantra, you know, was like, let the dough speak for itself.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't need to stick Pop-Tarts and sprinkles on it for people to buy it, you know?
Because that's now a thing.
Because that happens. I know.
I know. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to try and draw cause and effect, but it was like right after you did that, it seemed like there were like 4 other places.
Yes.
4 other people in town doing exactly the same thing. Or I'm sorry, not exactly the same thing. Also doing donuts via pop-up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Which is just bizarre. And I honestly, Mark, like I still get phone calls to this day, 2 years later. But yeah, it's about 2 years later, people asking if they can order donuts. Oh, and I'm like, nope. You can ask these people though, you know.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I don't know. I want, you know, there's a little bit of like a little bit of a proud moment being like, oh yeah, I was the first one to start this stuff, you know. Yeah. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. No, but
sure,
whatever. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah.
Well, it's crazy. You didn't know of anybody until you did it.
Until you did it, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, with respect to the folks that are doing it nowadays, I mean, they're each doing their own thing.
Yeah.
They're whatever, they have their clientele, but sometimes I'm like, man, like I just want to go in there and show them what's what again. This is what a donut should taste like, guys. Come on. Yeah.
So cool.
Without going too dramatic into that, you know.
So then you made it up to Saskatoon.
Yes.
Finally. what are you up to now?
So currently I work at the Night Oven Bakery.
Yeah.
The
big brick oven?
Yes. Yeah. Neat. So two days a week. So the busiest day is Friday and Saturday. I'm bread baking with the big wood-fired crazy oven, which is... that was a learning curve. I can tell you that much. But the rest of the week I do all of the viennoiserie.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah. So all those croissants and stuff I do, and then I bake bread 2 days a week.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Neat. And so tell me a bit about that. Like what's it like doing the bread there? How is it different than when we were baking together, like with the brick oven and all of that?
Yeah, I honestly, it's same concept.
Right.
Right. You want to use the best grains. You want to support local and organic if you can.
Yeah.
Sourdough, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I remember from Orange Boot was that we, like, our schedule was so refined to a T, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even have to look at the oven to know when and what and what, like when something has to go in, when it's going to come out, what's next. Like it was so systematic, you know, and I knew everything, the ins and outs of that. And that was also the perk of having a deck oven, right?
The
preciseness of it.
Yeah.
And now with the wood fired oven at the Night Oven, it's just, you really have to listen to the dough. You have to listen to see what the bricks are at, like, it's just every day is something different, you know? Even from day to day, when we mill our own flour, sometimes it's a little bit finer, sometimes a little bit coarser.
Right.
It's totally like using that baker intuition on what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you're like, oh, my oven's at this temp. I need to get this in now, or I won't have enough heat to bake the rest of the stuff I got to bake in a day. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, much more intuitive and I think, in a sense, a little bit more skillful.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, certainly I would think that with some of the variables, you've got to it's going to be easier to make a bad loaf.
Yes.
I guess it's almost kind of out of your control, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, or I don't want to maybe say it that way, but it's like, because when you've got a cold day, you're retarding dough, mm-hmm. you're trying to warm it up. Like you don't have a proofer.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a brick oven that's declining. You're trying to get your dough warming and trying to get it all to hit at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Just says that, you know, and you're doing that more than once, right? You know, it's not like just making the one loaf, right? Whereas, you know, we had it's certainly with the deck oven and the fact that we were mixing most of our doughs first thing in the morning, so you didn't have to warm them up.
Yep.
You know, I'm still in awe because you guys make really good bread there, right? So
definitely,
you're doing it. You know, like
we're doing it.
Yeah, like, you really are. And but it's that's retarding dough in bulk overnight or retarding it shaped overnight was something that we could never
work.
Right. You know,
it never really worked for us unless it was an enriched dough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like buns or something, you know?
Or buns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like heaven forbid we'd have to, you know, we miscalculated how much space we have in the oven.
Yeah.
You know, and we have, let's say a deck of birdseed sitting in the cooler. We're like, oh, this is pooched, you know? Yeah. It was a totally different thing, you know. Yeah. We still managed a lot of different variables. Orange Boot, right?
Yeah.
But it was almost more of like a human error.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, it does. All. No, I understand for sure. And
but
like I remember trying every time we tried to take, you know, retard shaped sourdough loaves.
Yes.
Overnight. They would take a day and a half, it seemed, to wake them up. Like, you know, never really could do that. So much admiration for you guys, doing it, you know, and I know you're not alone and I know a lot of guys can do it, but boy, that's something we could never pull off.
It was pretty crazy. I think, you know, I'm sure if you ask the same question of Brent, he'd be like, yeah, we figured it out after 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now we have a system that seems to work. We're still managing or strangling around, you know, gathering all those variables and trying to get a nice little coherent thing so that we can bake bread.
Exactly.
You know, it's actually really cool. And even the viennoiserie, like I missed how much I liked laminating.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So those have been really fun. And not to like discredit the skill or talent that goes into viennoiserie, it's a little bit more mind numbing than bread.
Right.
You know, because you just do the thing, you just do it, you know. And bread, it's like, oh right, it's you're strangling, you know, wrangling in what time it is and what temperature it is. Yeah. And how much coffee you had. Yeah,
who's trying to talk to you at 4 a.m.
yeah
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. So how are you staying connected now with other bakers?
Oh, not a whole lot, actually. Yeah. You know, I have been a guild member since the Orange Boot days.
Oh, okay. So you're still part of that?
Yeah, I would still sign up every year. And I mean, not that I'm very active in the forum or anything. I still read it and see what other people are going through. You know, looking at the formulas or whatever and, you know, oh, that would be cool to try one day and see how we can do that. But other bakers, yeah. Other than like the folks that I've met, you know, like yourself, the whole Dick family, Heather, I still speak to. Becky, actually, who worked at the Orange Boot. She's at Sate now.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for her.
Yeah, so she's going through her first year. So, you know, I talk to her a lot. But a lot of the folks that I went to school with, a lot of them didn't stay with baking, surprisingly.
Oh, okay.
You know, after what we talked about before. But there's a few now, you know, have their own little shops or working wherever. And, you know, I'll stalk them a little bit on Instagram. But
yeah,
that's pretty much it. Honestly, everything goes through Instagram for me nowadays. So a lot of the bakers that I follow, I've been following for quite some time. I could probably be a little bit more vocal on the internet, but I don't.
That's okay.
That's about it.
It's funny, like folks look at my, if anybody that doesn't know me all that well looks at my Instagram feed, they're like, got to be freaking out because it's just, it's bakers. It's all bakers,
it's,
you know?
It's all bakers, yeah.
I talked with a woman last week that we were talking about Instagram and stuff. And sometimes I think that we're just doing it for the other bakers, right?
I honestly, I think we are.
Yeah.
It's like, I really do.
The social media marketing is just, you know, talk to your peers. But
So, oh, absolutely. I mean, I post those like very aesthetic wood fired oven pictures just for those other bakers, you know, being like, yeah, man, I got you. Like, we're doing cool stuff every day. Like, this is great. Right on. You know,
right on. So it sounds like you found the joy again and you're liking this.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. And it took a little while to get there. I have to say, you
know, absolutely.
I've bounced around, even in Saskatoon, I bounced around a couple places
as
well, you know, working at a French inspired pastry shop and Saskatoon's first donut shop.
Right.
You know, and I was like, duh, I don't want to be frying donuts all day again. Like, this sucks. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say it sucks, but I don't want to be frying, like, fryers. I've been there, done that already.
Exactly.
You know, we're covered in glaze and stuff, but some people find a lot of joy in that. And I guess I would rather be arms deep in a dough and smelling like wood fire or something. But you know, having a very, I don't know, man, the Night Oven is such a anomaly. I think it's very chill, which is weird for a bakery environment, because usually you go to a bakery and it's hustling, like everyone's busting their butts, moving around, it's craziness. And with us, it's like, we're just making the bread and making the coffee and serving the pastries, and that's that's how it goes. I've definitely found my groove again, and
that's nice.
It's happy.
That's nice.
Happy times.
I know what you mean. Well, and I'm so happy for you that you did, because you're a real talent.
Thank you.
It would be a shame to not have you feeding somebody the good bread, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to ask you though, sort of two questions back to more with the early days. Well, not about that time, but even now, like, you know, when you moved to the office job, it was like, yeah, now I'm making really good money. I just hate it. And I'm assuming that now that you're back baking, it's like, well, I'm not making good money, but I love it. But it's And so, like, is it still an issue? I know that's something I really struggled with, but is it like, what's it like from your perspective, you know, being a baker in the trenches, living on a current day baker wage? Like, is it doable? Is it hard? Is it possible?
I think it's possible if you like to live somewhat simply. Well, the key thing that is different from when I was working at Orange Boot to even nowadays was that it was a single income house/apartment. You know, like, it was me by myself paying all of the bills, all of the rent, every expense was coming out of my pocket at the time. But now, you know, I have a partner now, and now we share rent, we share whatever. That completely is totally different. You know, even back at when I was working at Orange Boot and I had roommates, I still found it pretty difficult to, you know, fork over X amount of money a month, and, you know, getting a car as well to drive around, you know. I think it's doable, but I suck at saving money. So it's partially my own fault, but I mean, I, you know, even that's working at Schoolhouse, you know, I took a big pay cut going back to what I'm doing now, but I now have I can expect my hours.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not on call all the time. I'm not working who knows what the next week from the other week, you know. The money, I don't really care much for it. You know, I'm not like, I need to make the X amount of money a year. I'm not like that at all.
Yeah.
And if there's something that I want or desire, or whatever, you know what, I'm going to make the means to happen. Like, I'm going to do it regardless. But you know, money's not a driving force for me. And I think a lot of people can relate to that if they're in the food industry as well. No one goes into baking to make money, right? Yeah. you just don't.
That's a direct quote from about five episodes here.
I'm not surprised because it's like, it's legit. Yeah. I mean, if you're going, if you want to make money, go be a lawyer, go be a doctor, go be a dentist, whatever. Right. But if you take a lot of pride in making something out of a couple of ingredients into something edible with your hands, using the elements and making people feel really, really happy, like that is fulfilling in itself. And you can't slap a price tag on that. That's for sure. Right.
Nice. Really well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, when you mentioned it's like I just want to go in there and get my hands dirty and bake for people, you know. There's something to that for sure.
Absolutely.
I guess, and my other question in the same vein is you know, your partner is a non-baker, and so how's that working? Sort of, you know, if he's working normal hours and you're working the weird shifts, are you getting to see each other?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, Andy does work a 9-to-5 and an office job, you know, an office job has office perks, like, I don't know, whatever the wellness fund and benefits, and, you know, company this and company that, I don't even know how to really explain this. So usually bakers have, let's say, Sunday, Monday off, like myself. So we have all of Saturday afternoon and evening. We have all of Sunday together. And he, if we had wanted to plan like going somewhere for a short little weekend trip, he has the option of taking a Monday off and using a flex day, you know? And no one's going to miss him at the office. So like he could just take a couple days off and we can go and do whatever. So, we have all the evenings together usually. I'm still on this weird train where I only get like 4 hours of sleep a night. I know it's really bad. I should probably fix that, but, you know, whatever. We see each other quite often for sure. So it is, it's achievable, you know, and he respects that. Yeah. It's Friday night for you, but not Friday night for me yet.
I gotcha. Well, that's good. That's great. Actually, you know, like that's, because it's well, and it's also going to be kind of helpful that the, you know, if Andy's got a decent job with all the benefits, that some can trickle across too.
That's part of it too,
you know. Because it's hard. I remember there was a time one of you was saving up money to go to the dentist, and that broke my heart. It was that really broke my heart, was when I started looking, trying to look at dental plans again, or trying to do something. That was an eye opener for me. I think that's something that a lot of non-baker folks kind of take for granted, is, or I don't know, non-baker folks, but just, you know, the folks around where I live, you know, everybody's working in an office. So everybody assumes they've got, you know, a decent dental plan and stuff. For folks like us, that's a big expense.
And that's coming out of pocket. Or in some of my cases, you have to strike deals with your dentist buddies and be like, hey, I'll do all of your wedding catering, pastry, dessert table thing, and you take 3 teeth out of my face. It's happened.
So,
make friends with dentists and doctors and massage therapists.
Ah, there you go. And work trades. Oh my God.
Trades. That's great. I mean, it's probably, you know, you're not supposed to do it most likely, but that's whatever.
I don't know. I'm working with a startup now in another phase of my life, and they wanted to do a big launch party for their product.
Oh,
They worked with, and this is in Portland, and they worked with a coffee shop there, and it was like, well, How about we trade you, you know, a bunch of seats with the product that we make, and in exchange for the coffee at from your coffee shop? And I was like, yeah, right on, let's do it. So
right on, let's do it. Yeah,
absolutely. Not? So no, yeah. Smart. Well, I'm really happy for you, Tisha. I'm glad we got to catch up a bit, and because last time we were up to see you, Cindy grabbed on to you and was yakking and stuff, and I still have to track Bryn down. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while too, but every time I talk to him, it's like, wait a couple more months, I'll have another story. And it's like, okay.
Oh man, that guy.
He's a neat fella. So I'll get
he's
him.
Neat on. Fella who has he has a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But I really wanted to. Oh, I wanted to talk to you because I think you're awesome. But also, you know, from a baker perspective, right? Like I talk with a lot of bakery owners, but you know, this is the point of view from the person across the bench from you matters quite a bit. And so it's great to get your story. It's great to share some old stories as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just absolutely thrilled with what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah. Right on. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, take care.
Yeah. You as well. Thanks, Mark. I'm interested to see what other bakers have to say about, like, you know, their day-to-day
for sure
life. Yeah. Cool. Well, right on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this Second Rise chat. If you enjoyed this talk, there are over 170 more conversations with bakers from all around the world at riseuppod.com. Head on over and give them a listen. And if you love the show, click on that gorgeous little support the show button too. Every contribution is welcome, helpful, and treasured. And if there's a baker that you think I should be talking to, drop me a line at mark@riseuppod.com and let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Until next week, keep making the good stuff. Work hard, bake lots, rest when you need it. Happy baking. Bye-bye.